hello and welcome to a massive edition of the News on Drinks Adventures. If you've been with us for the last few years, you might recall that I did some news episodes during 2021. And I've always wanted to bring this segment back, and now's the time to do so. Probably on a monthly basis at this stage, but let's see what happens. This first edition for 2023 is using the term news a little loosely, as I'm catching you up on some of the stories that have been on my radar since the beginning of the year. So without any further ado, here's what's coming up this bulletin. Lark dismisses buyout talk and Sullivan's Cove speculation. Drinks giant Pernod Ricard launching first new brand in more than 20 years. Independent bottler Boutique returns to Oz. Australia gets its second advanced Cicerone. And Benspoke Brewing Company collaborates with Teeling Irish Whiskey for St. Patrick's Day. Early in 2023, Lark Distilling reported a 14% decline in net sales for the half year ended December 31. But the company says its underlying sales were actually up 18% after normalising for non-organic and opportunistic transactions in the 2022 financial year. Analysts asked Chairman David Deary in its January results webinar whether Lark expects to become a takeover target for the majors. But he said this is definitely not on the agenda.
We're focused on building Lark as the brand and creating the shareholder value. We're not at the moment seeking any approaches. We're focused on very much getting Lark into and through the retail environment in the domestic market and seeding in the international markets. So the future of Lark is very much about Lark's momentum. That is the key for us at the moment is making sure we continue to make whiskey and add it to the whiskey under maturation, which gives us the growth for the future. It's building that brand awareness in the consumer mindsets, and it's building that consumption level. It's also then making sure that when the consumer comes into our own hospitality venues, that they have wonderful experience, they leave with a great impression of what Lark has to offer as a luxury product. And by doing that, then we will continue to create shareholder value through our activities.
Also in the webinar, Interim Managing Director Laura McBain was asked to address a November media report suggesting the company had designs on acquiring fellow Tasmanian whisky company, Sullivan's Cove.
There's nothing really for us to comment on that basis. It is speculation. And obviously, as David said, Lark is focused on building its brand and building its opportunities here in Australia and overseas.
It's going to be a huge few months for Lark, with new CEO Satya Sharma starting on May 1, and the upcoming launch of its new core range, reflecting a new strategic direction for the company after it released more than 40 different whiskies in 2022. There's more about that in my story titled Lark Launches IPA Whiskey, but Core Range is King, which you can read only on the Drinks Adventures website at drinksadventures.com.au. Wine and spirits giant Pernod Ricard has launched Bumbu Rum and the French sparkling wine Luc Belair in Australia through its partnership with American company Sovereign Brands. Founded by Brett and Brian Berish in 2000, Sovereign has a strong track record of growing disruptive wine and spirits brands like Armand de Brignac or Ace of Spades Champagne, which it sold to rapper Jay-Z in 2014. A blended Scotch whisky called The Deacon is the first new brand created by Sovereign since it received a minority investment from Pernod in 2021. The Deacon will be available in Australia later in 2023. And Brett Berish says it demonstrates the role that Sovereign can play as an incubator for smaller brands within the Pernod business.
Most small companies have one brand. They launch it. If it's successful, they sold it and they're done. I don't want to do that. I want to keep making more brands. Pernod hasn't launched a new brand, forget line extension, forget acquisition, in 20 plus years. And this is the first new homegrown brand to be introduced by Pernod, and we'll launch it in 70 countries. We're already out of stock for the next few years. But that's supposed to be the relationship, and it's working beautifully. In Scotland, if you're the best at what you do, if you're the best writer, the best economist, the best mechanic, you're called the Deacon. The blend is truly unique, where I wanted something that's peaty and I wanted bonfire. And I get peated smoke from Isla, and I get bonfire smoke from Speyside. And it's just, it's smooth, it's smoky, sweet, and peat, as we call it.
What was the opportunity that you saw for that product? Because obviously it's a pretty different looking package to other scotches on the market. And I've seen the sort of cinematic advertising campaign. It's very much evocative of sort of Mad Max kind of apocalyptic sort of scenes.
And it gets back to what makes us different. You know, I don't follow data and statistics and what's hot. That scares the shit out of me. I like big old categories that are slow and don't change. It's time to disrupt the Scotch category. I think our taste profile is truly unique. If you look at it from a Pernod perspective, they have nothing like this in their portfolio from a taste. Our price point is unique. The package is unique. You saw it if you saw the video, and the ethos is different.
That's a pretty amazing statistic you just said there, that they haven't launched a brand in that period of time. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think you could say that about a lot of the big companies. They're really good at making big brands bigger. How's that? There's that saying in most industries, right? To buy a house takes just as much time as to buy an apartment building. So why not do it bigger? I would do the same thing. I like developing new brands.
Looking back at your track record and the success that you've had, you know, over your career, what do you think are like the fundamentals that you've followed with creating these brands that have been responsible for their success?
I think I have realistic expectations. You know, I think a lot of people who go into this business, they think about the exit before they've even launched the brand. That's the wrong way to think. There's three things to me. Story, it needs to be authentic. Package is critical for a brand because, you know, I'm a big believer, since I don't have the money of a Bacardi, I need it to stand out. So hopefully people do see it, they pick it up, and they want to try it. But now it's the taste. You can have the greatest package in the world, but if it doesn't taste good, they're not going to come back. And our taste is always unique. I want my brands to taste discernibly different than the competition, and I want you to have a reaction to it. And this is just a great example of, you know, in Canada, we're the number one premium rum. I think we sold 115,000 cases last year, and no one from my company's ever been there. We're good at what I call organic brand building, which is, I don't want people to force a brand on me. I want to feel like I discover it myself. Word of mouth is how we do it, and it works.
It's sort of a different approach to, you know, like you were saying before, a lot of the typical brand building we've seen tends to be, you know, from a single producer, and it's often sort of led by the distiller. You know, they're the kind of person who's front and center, and you've managed to kind of create a house of brands that all have these really quite deep stories. Is it difficult to create that level of authenticity, you know, when you don't quite have the provenance piece that perhaps, you know, a distillery, where it's kind of actually about a place and a person who creates it at that place? You're not building it around yourself so much.
It's a great question. And I think that's my advantage, because there's this fear of I can't do it anywhere else, but it's the opposite. I'll give you a perfect example. If you can see these, this is Bumbu Original. This is Bumbu XO. Completely different profiles. Taste completely different. This is produced in Barbados. This is produced in Panama. This is 8 sugar canes. This is 1 sugar cane. This is up to 12 years. This is up to 15 years. I couldn't do this Bumbu XO in Barbados. So to me, I don't look at it as, you know, I think it's presumptuous to say I have the best of everything and only my grapes are the best or only my rum. You know, I think of it as what's the best for the brand perspective, what's the best for them in their consumer perspective. So my Bel Air is an example. It's enormous. It's in 80 countries. It's the number one champagne premium sparkling in the United States. It's number one in Korea. But my rosé comes from where I think the best rosés come from in the world, which is Provence. And that's where I think the best sparkling should come from. We're the biggest producer. My whites, I think the best grapes are Chardonnay from Burgundy. So good analogy is like a painter. You know, if you only give them one color to paint with, you can't do much. If you have a whole, you know, bandwidth of colors, boy, you can go crazy. I want as much bandwidth as I can have to make the best brands.
Back in 2021 on the Drinks Adventures podcast, we explored the world of independent bottlers with Sam Simmons and Dave Worthington of That Boutique Whiskey Company. The occasion was the launch of the company's first ever Australia series. And now Boutique has followed that up with another batch of limited edition whiskey and rum called Return to Oz. In a recent online trade tasting, Dave Worthington spoke glowingly about the quality of spirits on offer in the new collection. None more so, he says, than the contribution from Florio Distillery in South Australia.
I'm a big fan of this little distillery, I must admit. 8-day ferment, so it's just all about flavour. Everything they're doing is about flavour right from the beginning, which is really, really good stuff. It's just surprising for a three-year-old that you can have such a depth of flavour and length of finish from just 3 years old. It is outstanding. Reflecting the price, £145, and you can compare that to some of the 18-year-old Scotch whiskies that are done in a sort of a similar sort of flavour and style and finish and everything. They're charging more than that. I know it's 3 years old, but it's all about a quality of that distiller. If I could put that in a lineup with Scotch whiskies and tell you it was long aged, I would get away with this, I'm telling you. I've been blown away by the whole quality of this 10 whiskey lineup.
Stocks of Boutique's Return to Oz whiskies will be available in Australia in mid-2023. The Cicerone certification program is like beer's equivalent of the Court of Master Sommeliers for wine. Lion Craft Beer Ambassador Leader Paul Daly recently became only the second Australian to achieve the third-tier qualification of Advanced Cicerone, which requires distinctive expertise in beer, strong sensory skills, and mastery of flavour vocabulary. I asked Paul what was involved in the in-person tasting and oral exams that he took in Atlanta late last year.
It was daunting, but it was fantastic. We had about 8 to 10 people there coming to the day. They break down, so the written portions, to three-hour sessions with an hour break in between. But the tasting portion, which is 25% of the total exam score, where the written 75%, it involves four tasting panels. So we talk off flavors, and there's 13 you need to be familiar with. The off flavors that happen during the brewing process or post that when those beers leave the brewery. Apart from that, we go into a flavor evaluation. So that's another panel, but it's about identifying and using a vocabulary to be able to describe those beers. That's intersected with the interview process, which will be a couple of ones. One when I had was a food and beer pairing, so a food item with you and a beer, and you're expected to talk about the positive attributes of both and then talk about if they come together well, why they come together well, how you might improve it. There is a style question. You're expected to have quite a detailed technical knowledge of a style, the parameters, color range, IBU range, bitterness, and your alcohol range, and then go into an evaluation of that. And an evaluation of beer is being able to describe a style as your appearance, your aromas, your flavors, your mouthfeel, your bitterness, and then have a good understanding of commercial examples that are out there. Then after that harrowing experience, we go into style discrimination. So in the advanced level, you are expected to have a panel of beers in front of you, and each sample has the option of being one of four styles from the BJCP style guidelines. In certified, you've got the choice of two, but four, which are quite close in advance. And your knowledge of those styles will help you identify that correct beer. And then finally, there is the technical evaluation. So some samples of beer where looking at the appearance, getting the aroma, tasting it, a technical evaluation on a blind style. So, yeah, it's a big tasting exam, but pretty exciting.
Now, obviously, we do already have an Australian master Cicerone, Shane McNamara, who I interviewed on Drinks Adventures podcast, probably going back a year or so now. But is the race on for the first Australian master Cicerone domiciled in Australia? Yeah, the race between you and Matt Marinich over in WA.
Well, maybe Matt and I will, I'm actually catching up with him next week when I'm over in Perth. Maybe Matt and I will go there and sit it together. It's always good to have a study partner. I'll think about it in the future. It's nice to not have to study right now. I think my goal and Matt's goal, particularly over there in WA, is to assist people in those first couple of levels. We will be launching soon the Australian Cicerone Certified Professionals Community, where not only does it help people at a certified level, but it helps people who are interested in the program in Australia come up through Certified Beer Server, but we also mentor them around how to become a certified Cicerone. And we will have an online presence through a Facebook community, but also a website and newsletters. I would love to actually bring the Advanced Cicerone Tasting Exam to Australia in the next couple of years, just to be able to offer a pathway. In discussion now, I'm lucky enough to might be heading over to San Diego in a few months to actually help proctor an American exam to bring that experience to Australia as well, which is fantastic.
Benspoke Brewing Company has unveiled Brewer's Share, a unique whisky-infused stout brewed in tandem with Teeling Irish Whiskey. The special collaboration, released in time for St. Patrick's Day 2023, comprises a blend of whisky barrel-aged stout with freshly brewed stout, a portion of which was infused with coffee beans. In two decadent finishing touches, the beer was then spiked with Teeling small batch whiskey to layer complementary aromatics upon the oak-derived characters before it was then dosed with nitrogen on the packaging line. Benspoke imported 58 Teeling whiskey barrels direct from Dublin for the project. Brewery founder Richard Watkins says it proved to be an expensive and difficult bureaucratic exercise dealing with Australian biosecurity conditions relating to timber. But it was all worth it once the barrels arrived safely in Canberra.
The freshness of these barrels, and as soon as you cracked the bung on them and you could see that they weren't fully dry either, they still had a little bit of glistening inside, which meant that there was, you know, obviously whiskey in there. And just the aroma that came out, they were so fresh. They literally must have racked the whiskey out of these barrels, bung them up and literally nearly put them in the container. I mean, we've brought in container loads of barrels from third parties from the US. And when you crack open the barrels, they've got that little hint of mustiness. You can definitely get the bourbon and you can definitely get that vanilla coming out, but you do get that little hint of mustiness.
Teeling Asia Pacific commercial manager Martin Lynch says it's the first time Teeling has ever sent its barrels to Australia, and the resulting beer stands apart from the many other collaborations the company has done with other breweries around the world.
It's never been done before in any of our beer collaborations that we've included our whiskey within the actual beer, which is what we've done with Benspoke, so we're quite interested in the extra layer that it brings into the beer. With these collaborations, what it takes is a lot of resolve and determination to actually follow through with them genuinely, because if you're not serious about it, you'll get stalled, because invariably there's hiccups along the way and there's more paperwork involved and the costs can be higher than you've originally anticipated. So in fairness to Richard, from the outset he had a very can-do attitude and he was going to make it happen, which gave us confidence, because we have had many conversations with breweries and craft producers, but at least half of them go nowhere because maybe both sides aren't fully on board with following through with what needs to happen. From our perspective, until the barrels are collected from our warehouse, we're never fully sure that it will actually happen.
At 7% ABV, the Brewer's Share is a more approachable and accessible example of a barrel-aged stout, which Martin says was his and Richard's plan from the outset.
If you look at the major Irish stouts, they're all very much sessionable beers. So the idea was to try and keep it closer in terms of the ABV and the flavour profile to being a sessionable beer that can be enjoyed rather than a very high imperial stout that's probably a one and done job, but also that it would appeal to a wider audience.
I'm really exceptionally happy with how this beer's turned out. And it's not about keeping it around forever. It's literally bringing it to market, selling out of it so that people enjoy it while it's fresh, and then releasing it again probably next year.
A quick disclosure on that one. I was paid by Benspoke to do some copywriting around the launch of the Brewer's Share collaboration. That's all from this edition of The News. I hope you've enjoyed it. And remember, if you want to be a podcast insider and get my written stories delivered to your inbox once a week, go to drinksadventures.com.au and click subscribe. There's stories like the fallout from a historic dispute between Pirate Life Brewing and its one-time distributor, Palais Imports, which was laid bare in a recent court ruling that I covered only at drinksadventures.com.au. Cheers.